Let's get to him right now. This is a very special guest. We're very pleased to welcome him to the program. Richard McLaren commissioned the World Anti-Doping Agency report on Russian doping. He is a professor at the University of Western Ontario and was named to the Order of Canada in 2015. And he's with us on the program. Richard, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well, thank you. It's actually afternoon for me because I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, there you go. And I'm sure the weather is much better there for you than it is for us here. So we're
beautiful.
Pleased.
Midday, sunny day.
Pleased to catch up with you. Let's start with the most basic of questions. Your reaction to Icarus securing the Oscar for Best Documentary last night?
Ecstatic. I was thrilled to be there. I was honored to be there. I always wanted to go to the Academy Awards all my life. Never thought I would ever get there, let alone be able to be there and in a film that was possibly going to win an Oscar. And then they won. It was a wonderful experience.
Richard, you know, you put together the report. I mean, it's the systemic cheating and everything that went on right from the state level. Do you have any rationale for why the Russians continue to be defiant in terms of their role in this, despite every single piece of evidence pointing to their cheating?
Well, you know, they're defiant and they're not defiant because they say we have a doping problem and we need to fix the doping problem, but we don't agree with what I said in the reports because it's not state-sponsored, which is I disagree with, and so that's why they simply won't accept the reports. But everyone else in the world, and now even the Academy Awards group, have confirmed that what I report on is, in fact, I think it's partly obstinance on the part of the Russians, and partly it's embarrassment, and part of it is geopolitical. There are many different dimensions to why they do this, but they're the only body in the world that think that this has occurred.
What kind of reaction have you gotten, Richard, from, I don't know how to define this other than Russia, the Russian state? Have you gotten any blowback? What have you experienced since this report?
Well, in between the first report in July and the second report in December of 2016, I met with Russian officials who were sent a special envoy to meet with me, and we discussed it and what was going on in the first report. And the Russian officials, the main message they wanted to say to me is it's not state-sponsored. And their definition of state-sponsored is that it has to be emanating from the inner circle of the president, Putin, and that didn't happen. I changed how I described what was going on in Russia to a systematic manipulation of the doping control processes, and accepted their notion of what state-sponsored is, despite the fact that's not what I would describe as being state-sponsored. And I had hoped that the Russians would accept that as some compromise and a recognition of their position, but they don't seem to have done that. They continue to deny everything.
So their claim then is that a large number of individual athletes have gone about this on their own. Is that the counter-argument?
No, they counter with the proposition that Dr. Levashenkov, who was the director of the WADA-accredited lab until he fled Russia in 2015 and now is in the United States, that he's the principal orchestrator of it all and that it all centers on him. But my evidence is very clear that it goes to the deputy minister of sport then, who's a man named Nagorny, and also to the minister of sport, who's not the minister anymore, but whose name is Mutko, and is the deputy prime minister now. So despite what the various authorities in Russia say, the evidence is very clear, and it's on the website that I prepared for the report, that it's much more than just Dr. Rodoshenkov. In fact, the complicated way in which it was done wouldn't even be capable of being carried out by a single person. And certainly you would never be able to get 1,000 athletes to individually decide that they were going to participate and do something like this in a somehow unorchestrated fashion. So they're looking for any point they can make to try and deny it, but they really have not been able to do so.
Now, having just been at the Olympics and seen, you know, the Olympic athletes from Russia and the sanctions that the IOC placed down, number of athletes, Richard, you know, from a spectrum of different countries really felt that the IOC didn't go far enough in putting sanctions on Russia and including, you know, banning them outright from the Olympics. What position can the IOC take, knowing this report, and you talk about the geopolitical, and we talk about going forward in terms of trying to deal with this in maybe what we would hope would be a stronger fashion, if that's fair?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is pull a curtain and close out the entire matter, and that would be the end of it. But that's going to be very hard to do because the World Anti-Doping Agency has still got the Russian equivalent of our doping agency under suspension. And one of the conditions for that suspension is the recognition of my work, my reports. And that doesn't appear to be going to happen anytime soon. The other condition is that they release electronic data that the lab had and is now under an investigative committee's control. And until those two points are satisfied, the RUSADA, the anti-doping agency, remains suspended. And so I don't think the problem goes away in the way that the IOC felt it would by the way in which they set everything up for the Winter Games. So we'll see how all that turns out. I think the problem's going to linger for quite a while.
The problem specific to Russia or doping in general, Richard? Because I think the one thing we're all concerned about here is that there isn't enough deterrence, generally speaking, whether it's specific to Russia or globally.
I agree with you. There isn't enough deterrence generally, and I think athletes are continually complaining about that. And part of that is because the international federations that govern these different sports, winter sports and summer sports, many of them simply don't have the will to pursue their athletes and the doping issues that athletes raise because they feel it's bad for their image, it's bad for the sport, it's bad for their sponsors, and so they try and play it down. And the social surveys suggest that in elite athletes, something in the order of 20 to 40% of those athletes are using some kind of performance-enhancing substance. The accredited labs are reporting anywhere from 0.5% to 1.5% of the samples they analyze as being positive. There's a giant disconnect there between the international federations and the surveys of international athletes, rather, and the results of doping control positives. And I think that's directly related to a lack of will on the part of the international federations, and it comes through all the organizations. So it's also true of the IOC to really get at this problem and deal with it in a fashion that would, I don't think you can ever eliminate it, but you can certainly reduce it, and you can control it far more than it is controlled now.
With Richard McLaren, I'm interested in your opinion or a thought on this. To what extent, Richard, do you believe athletes, and we're talking about Russia here, so Russian athletes were compliant in this, and to what degree do you believe that a portion of them were forced to go along with this doping program against their will?
Let me take the second one first and say, yes, I think there some athletes were probably forced to go along with it, or they wouldn't have got the best coaches. They wouldn't be able to compete nationally and internationally without going along with the doping programs that were being put forward by the coaches and medical people and trainers that are involved in particular sports. So to that extent, there are athletes, I think, who have been forced into the regime, and we know that from one of the whistleblowers in the prior commission, Ilya Stepanova. who was definitely forced into the doping control program as an 800-meter sprinter. So that is one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is the athletes who are competing at the Winter Games in Sochi, they have to have known what was going on because they provided clean urine samples that could be swapped with the ones that they were supplying at the games themselves. That's a big part of the investigation. It's a big part of the story in Icarus. And you cannot be an athlete at the elite level producing clean samples for no reason, no apparent reason, and think that there isn't something going on. So I think that the people who were involved in Sochi that we've named and the IOC's disciplinary commission has reviewed and sanctioned, they have to have known that they were part of a system, and they either expressly or tacitly agreed to participate because it was going to be better for them and the performance of the Russian Olympic team.
So, Richard, like for the Olympic athletes to come to to Pyeongchang to compete, they had to be cleared by the IOC. Now, who would have overseen that and then reported back to the Russians to say these athletes are clean and can compete, and the other ones that were told you haven't passed the protocol? We saw that arbitration case come up right on the eve of the Winter Olympics, and all the athletes got denied. So how did the IOC inject themselves in that process?
Well,
or did they?
They did. Absolutely, they did. Well, what they did is... In a press conference in December of 2017, the president, Thomas Bach, declared the Russian Olympic Committee to be suspended. So their membership was suspended. And without that body in place, there is no official body within Russia who can nominate athletes to be on the Olympic team and go to the Olympic Games. What the IOC then did is they put in their own committee of three people, and they reviewed suggested athletes who the Russians considered to be clean. And there were some 300-odd of those, of which 166 were accepted to participate in the Games. And that committee of three looked at my reports, other information that we had that wasn't publicly available, and their own intelligence and information that they gathered from international federations, WADA, and elsewhere. And on the basis of all that, they would decide which ones they felt were probably clean and recommend them to the IOC to be on the Russian Olympic team, which, of course, Thomas Bach also announced that that had to be called the Olympic Athletes of Russia and not the Russian Olympic team, because that was another condition that he imposed at the time. That he suspended the Olympic Committee. So they had a direct hand in the selection process, and they used their own people to make those decisions.
Richard, before we let you go, last question for you. How can you personally, be satisfied that Russia is, for lack of a better way to put it, clean in 2022? What do you need to see? What needs to be laid out in front of you to be confident of that?
I think they need to have open audits rigorously applied to the lab, and audits of their doping control process. And I think it should be subject to regular inspection by international inspectors who are not independent, not appointed or employees of WADA or of the IOC or international federations, and that there's a rigorous surveillance of what's going on in Russia, which is a difficult thing to do. It's an enormous country, and it's hard to get a doping control officer from Moscow, let's say, to Vladivostok, which is about 3,500 miles away. And in the course of trying to get someone there, there's enough time, if they're alerted in advance, that they can disguise, mask, or get rid of the doping, so there won't be a positive result. So it's a big problem, but it needs international observation and reporting and auditing.
Richard, great of you to take some time. Congratulations for a great weekend, and I'm certainly hoping we'll talk again at some point soon.
Good. Pleasure to talk to you.
Richard McLaren commissioned the WADA report on Russian doping. He's a professor at the University of Western Ontario, named to the Order of Canada in 2015, and he was live and in person, Craig, at the Oscars last night when Icarus won Best Doc.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the work he's done is pretty impressive, and even how he's trying to move forward with the ideas that he feels has to happen.